Today in the Leaders Huddle, we bring you another quick bonus episode. This episode features a short discussion between David Wirt and David Laura on the topic of personal financial moves as a junior officer. We provide actionable advice and a few personal tips that can lead you to a path of financial stability and discuss the importance of financial literacy as a leader. As always in the huddle, the opinions and views expressed are those of the hosts and guests alone and do not represent the position of the United States Army. Specifically for this episode, we advise our listeners to not act solely on the financial advice discussed, but to consult with a certified financial expert. Without further ado, let's dive into our bonus episode 4, Smart Financial Moves as a Junior Officer.
Today we're going to be discussing smart financial moves as a junior officer. Dave and I are going to be going through 5 different major things that you can do as a junior officer. So you can start this as a lieutenant soon after commissioning or through your time as a captain. But these are things that are generalizable to everybody that you should be trying to do at this point in your career as a junior officer. The first we're going to start off with is live within your means and establish a general budget.
Hey, thanks, Dave. So when you get commissioned, that first couple paychecks, couple thousand dollars is awesome. But after paying off your commissioning loan or your car payment, rent, living expenses, that money, that income starts to dwindle, and it's really important that you are tracking where it's going. So most financial planners would recommend having a budget and tracking it. So like my wife and I, we use a Google Sheet that we both can see. We do a monthly budget meeting and try and track where all of our money's going. And important to that is obviously spending less than you make and avoiding debt and high interest loans. Those consumer credit cards will just chew that interest payment up and start really tracking and start tacking up your debt. So it's really important to avoid those. Track your mandatory spending bills so you know how much you have for discretionary spending and investing. Pay your bills first. Dave Ramsey will talk about paying for the four walls, paying for your transportation, so making sure your car's paid off, the utility bills are paid off, your cable bill, if you have cable, internet bill, all that type of stuff is paid off first, and then you can utilize your discretionary spending for leisure activities and investing. A budget provides transparency, especially if you're married, on where your money's going, and to stay honest with your financial goal setting. The other aspect is saving and investing a certain percentage every month and automatically transfer of funds. So whether it's 10, 20, 50, 25%, setting that goal at the beginning of the month of how much you're going to save and invest for the future, and setting up automatic bill payments for insurance, cell phone, utilities, everything I talked about before, you don't even have to think about it. It's just automatic. You don't have to spend time in writing a check. It's just done. As long as you're tracking, it's good. And then finally, for living within your means, if you're single, we would highly recommend consider living with the roommate at Bullock or at your duty station to save a lot of money on your BAH. You can split cost of living expenses, whether it's rent, utility, groceries, even carpool. You save a lot of money by doing that. And then with that, if you do have a roommate, I think you make sure that you have a frank discussion with your roommates about timelines. So if you're in a different unit and you're deploying at different times, you're going to the career course or other professional schools at different times, who's covering the bills, all those household responsibilities, just be mature about it and talk to your roommates about it.
So there are definitely a variety of budgets here and different areas on the spectrum that you could be in regards to how complex your budget gets. I know there are some folks that record every single receipt that they have down to the cent to make sure that they're meeting their goals. Dave, can you talk about that a little bit? You said that you and your wife share a budget. Is that just goals, or do you specifically put down everything that you spend throughout the month too?
So you can save receipts. That becomes very time consuming. And so we allow ourselves a little bit of flexibility where if it's just, hey, we go out to eat and it was unplanned, or we buy some thing for the house or for the new baby, we put that in a category of just money that we weren't accounted for, and we allow ourselves some flexibility there. But we generally track how much we spend on those mandatory spending items, and then looking at how much we're going to allow ourselves for discretionary spending when it comes to clothing or travel or you know, tax season's here, so if you got to pay taxes, or you know, when Christmas rolls around, you shouldn't have to go in debt to pay for Christmas gifts for your family. So having those month or 3 month goals are important. You can get to every receipt. It takes a lot of time. And if there are a couple apps out there that will actually track everything you spend and will carry it over to your budget. We just normally go through about once a week. We'll sit down, look at my bank account, see the categories I spent money on, and put it towards our sheet. And we'll do a mid-month meeting and assess where we're at.
So that's a good way to transition here into our second major tip, which is regarding housing. This is obviously going to be a big percentage of what you spend every month. Ultimately, our recommendation is that unless you're very smart and savvy on real estate priorities and principles and where you and know exactly what you want out of where you would potentially be buying a house, we recommend overall renting or considering living on post for your first few duty stations.
Yeah, this is a good point, Dave. So if you talk to if you take a poll of a group of officers, you'll get different opinion on renting versus purchasing a house at every duty station. I'm a person that likes to keep things simple. I'm not a real estate savvy person. So my overall recommendation is, since housing markets are unpredictable, that you know, you do rent or consider living on post. If you buy a house, you could lose money when you PCS and try and sell it because of the unpredictability on housing markets. There's a lot of sunk costs when it comes to purchasing a home, when you don't consider those sunk costs. Those being additional housing insurance, maintenance issues, closing and agent costs, real estate agent cost, flood insurance is something that a lot of people don't consider when purchasing a house. And if you were to move and still own that property, managing property from a distance can be a hassle. If there's maintenance issues and your property manager can't take care of it, you may have to go back and take time out of your normal job to go and fix that issue and pay for that issue. So in recap, again, unless you're a real estate savvy guy or gal, keep it simple. Rent, take advantage of VAH, or consider living on post.
The last thing that I'll add to that, Dave, is considering the VA loan. So this is a $450,000 cap that you can use once in or use through your lifetime. But if you spend in your first home that you purchase $200,000, it only allows you $250,000 left of that total VA loan to be able to get a zero down payment for your next mortgage. So consider that in the long term. $450,000 for a home loan, how you want to use that during your entire lifetime instead of in multiple different small houses. Moving on to our third tip for this episode, retirement and investing, and focusing on that.
So the overall tip here is to just understand the principles of how to invest and save for your retirement, and then just how to invest, period. So let's talk retirement first. Highly recommend that everyone research and set up a Roth IRA, or in addition to, or just separately enroll into the Thrift Savings Plan if you have not done so already. So the Thrift Savings Plan is changing a little bit to a blended retirement system. I'm not an expert on the program, but as I understand, if you're currently, if you're an officer right now, if you're commissioning this year, you have the option of going into the blended retirement system. If you're commissioning next year, so 2018 at the time of this recording, you will be forced into the blended retirement system. So let's talk about why investing is important. It's part of time value of money and compound investing, diversifying across different asset classes. You'll in the long run, save money for years and decades. I'm gonna go back to the Roth IRA. So the Roth IRA is a tax-sheltered retirement plan that has a max contribution, which is currently set at $5,500 per year of after-tax income. It's different from a traditional Roth IRA, which I'm not gonna touch on during this episode, but just focus on the Roth. So those withdrawals are not taxed upon retirement. So they can grow for decades tax-free. And the key thing about investing in a Roth IRA is the expectation that throughout your lifetime, you're going to your annual income will increase, so you'll be at a higher tax bracket when you retire, which is really important. So that means you're saving even much more money because you're at a higher tax bracket. briefly touch on the TSP. So the TSP, Thrift Savings Plan, is similar to an employer-sponsored retirement plan. It has generous contribution limits that grows tax-deferred. It's transferable across services and into the civil service. So if you get out and you work for the government still, you can keep, you can hold on your TSP. And you can set up through MyPay, DFAST, automatic allotments into your thrift savings plan. It has very defined set of investment vehicles that you need to research. Not going to dive into in this podcast, but you know, definitely check it out. Think about retirement, your retirement plan now that you have a steady income. Okay, investing overall. Speak with our big primary tip is take the time to speak with a certified financial planner or certified financial accounting, that's CFP and CFA respectively, about investing and plan based on your risk tolerance. That being, how much money are you willing to use for discretionary investing? How risky are you willing to be with your paycheck? Be mindful of tax implications on capital gains and market volatility. So if you sell an investment, you're going to get taxed on it, and that will incur some more homework and work to do when you do your taxes. And keep things simple. If you're not fully educated, just like going back to the housing, housing tip. If you're not fully educated or savvy on the nuances of markets and investing, or you don't have the time to commit to manage and track your investments, keep things simple, like simple mutual funds or bond funds. Even certificates of deposit do have some interest that can grow. Keep things simple. You'll be busy enough as a junior officer in the Army.
Negotiable for junior officers. Roth IRA, $5,500 a year. Consider contributing to your TSP and working on that every month. And last, regarding investing and diversifying, speak to a certified financial planner. The three things get you on the right track for retirement and investing. For our fourth tip overall, insurance and risk management. Dave, can you tell us more about that?
Insurance is essentially the transfer of risk. What I mean by that is you're paying to a group portfolio, and you're, you know, if an event happens that you can actually transfer that risk. So immediately, if you got a vehicle, obviously spend the time to get automobile insurance and check your specific state rules when you PCS. Some states require that you do transfer insurance. That's really important. Life insurance. So we all have the option of the service members group life insurance plan. I think it's really important that you max it out, primarily because even though you do have, on the unfortunate event of your death, you do have a death gratuity, and I think it's 1 or 2 months pay that goes to your folks on your SGLI or GD93. There's still a lot of unaccounted for costs that come for just life expenses that can really help set up your family in the event of your death. Personal property insurance. So one thing I talk to all the cadets about is making sure that they get their class ring insured. I think that's really important. Something they don't necessarily think about. Personal property can include expensive electronics equipment like computers or bikes. Anything that you think would cause some financial burden to replace if it was stolen or lost. The other thing on insurance, get rental insurance once you have a place at your first duty station. Most rental agencies will require it. Get set up through your financial institution, pretty easy. All right, risk management. An emergency fund is a liquid account that includes 3 to 6 months of living expenses and only used in the case of emergencies. So why is that important? Even though we have a steady income in the Army, so you can never really account for a tragic car accident, or that may just have to replace your total car that your insurance may not cover, or maintenance not covered in your warranty for your home, any other thing. So easy recommendation is something like a money market account or a separate savings account that is separate from your saving goals and is only to be touched in emergency.
Our last tip for this episode is overall to be organized with your financial records and master the fundamentals of personal finance.
Yeah, so what do I mean by keeping organized? You'll PCS a lot, so you need to make a binder portfolio of all your important documents for taxes, BH, your investments, insurance. At a bare minimum, save them to some place that's digitally accessible, very easy. I used to keep records of my LESs. You could probably do that for the first couple months to make sure that everything's squared away. Definitely keep your taxes up to at least 7 years BH files are important when you PCS, and then include some of that stuff in your iLiveMe book or a binder portfolio. It's mandated, but it's really important that you conduct a personal records review or PRR and a financial records review annually to ensure your records are up to date. That is key when it comes to when you add dependents to your BH. So you're changing your BH dependents to TRICARE, or when you adjust or stop your BH depending on when you PCS, and that stuff kind of gets prorated when you move. So it's important to keep records of that. Stay current on all your bills. File your taxes on time with your state and the IRS. So even if you go to the field or deploy for a couple months or go to NTC, JRTC, those type of places, you're still going to have to pay your bills. So going back to automating your bills and just having them paid for through online, it's really easy. You don't even think about it, and you're not coming back from the field with overdue paid bills. File your taxes on time, real easy. There's a lot of financial institutions, H&R Block, TurboTax, that can, some will do your federal for free. They're very helpful for service members. Make sure you get it checked out, and make sure you check out your state's individual tax regulations for service members. And then I think the most important takeaway from this podcast and just financial planning in general, Dave, is being prepared to teach and counsel your young soldiers through financial troubles. I guarantee you with a certain amount of, or good amount of certainty, that at some point when you're a PL, XO, or commander, you will have a soldier that goes through some financial hardship. And I think it's a implied responsibility for us to help coach and counsel them, get them to the right folks at ACS, or just show them some life skills like building a budget and keeping them knowledgeable about avoiding high interest loans and consumer debt and living within their means. You may be the first person who's actually had that conversation with them, and just do it. It's part of being a good leader.
That's great. And I think one of the resources to point out there is ACS, Army Community Services, there, where you can, you know, if they're getting to a point where, you know, they're a little too complicated for you, then you can certainly go there to get educated yourself on developing a budget, but you can bring your soldiers there and they can get continuous support from Army Community Services on each post. The last thing that I do want to point out that you mentioned, which cannot be overstated, is the importance of keeping organized your financial records. And for me, that also includes, you know, before I got married, it was really important to have access to my financial records. So where did I have bank accounts? Where did I have savings accounts? Where did I owe money to? So that in the event of, you know, something happens to me or I couldn't pay those bills, my family was able to go back to those. And then all those PCSs you'll have in your first 5-6 years in the Army, that's really critical to keep that with your other important records. To recap here, our 5 major tips for this episode. First, live within your means and establish a general budget. Second is focus on housing and establish where you want to live. And our recommendation overall is to rent or live on post your first few duty stations before you commit to owning a house. It's going to be a long-term commitment. Third is figure out your retirement and investing. Really inside of that, we talked about the Roth IRA and TSP. And lastly, find an expert, a certified financial planner. Fourth, insurance and risk management and having that prepared in the case that something happens. Lastly, our 5th tip was be organized with your financial records and master the fundamentals of personal finance.
Dave, thanks for the recap. And one thing we did not touch on but kind of is on the fringes of this episode are establishing a will and getting a power attorney, especially when you deploy. Really important. Certainly if you're married, establishing a will and power attorney can be done at your local staff judge advocate office at no cost to you. Very simple to do. Just takes some time to do it, and we'll rest keep your family when you're out on mission doing good work. They'll keep them secured. So I want to highlight the few resources that we used for this episode. The first one is a Thrift Savings Plan website. Check it out, especially with the new blended retirement system. The Guide to Personal Financial Planning for the Armed Forces 7th Edition is a Stackpole book. They produce a lot of those books that you'll find at the uniform shop at your PX. The other one would be the Army Officer Guide has a chapter on financial planning. And Google and the internet is an amazing, amazing resource. And although I can't personally endorse it for this podcast, I would check out Dave Ramsey's company in Financial Peace University has a military edition of Financial Peace University that they produced about a decade ago. A lot of chaplains have access to free CDs to go through that course. It's where I get a lot of my philosophy. Again, I can't personally endorse it, but it's a good resource. His podcast is free. You can check it out. Just Google Dave Ramsey's podcast, and you'll learn a lot listening to him. All right, Dave. So thanks for coming on and hosting this episode. This concludes our bonus episode number 4, Smart Financial Moves as a Junior Officer. We'll get back to our regular scheduled programming next week with Promote Leadership, and we talk the organization Promote Leadership, and we talk cross-gender mentoring and breaking the boundaries of cross-gender mentoring. We would like to announce that we do now have a Facebook page and Twitter page, and so check those out. It's at Leaders Huddle, at Leaders _ Huddle, I should say, on Twitter, and Leaders Huddle on Facebook. Hit us up. Take the time to like us on iTunes. Send us some comments. You're doing great with our rating and review. Really appreciate it. Keeps us motivated and generating good content. And until then, this is Captain David Wirt for Captain David Laura signing off. The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.